First of all, this is Jerry Zahavi interviewing Helen Perini. The date is February 29th, the year 2000. We are conducting the interview in the West Seminar Room of the New Science Library at the SUNY campus. Helen?
Yes.
Thank you for agreeing to do this. Now, Helen, we've done several interviews before, and we focused on your career from April Fool's 1941.
When I was hired by GE. And I retired April 1, 1980, April Fool's Day. I don't know if there's a message in that or not.
When I'm wondering, as we start now, I'm wondering why you retired.
You worked 39 years in a place. I think you're entitled to retire. I worked in the factory, and my last couple of years, I was a production follower, so I love my job because I handle paperwork and everything. But when you work in the factory on different jobs, it's physically tiring. And I had injured my back, but 39 years is a long time to work. So I saw and besides, at that time the companies start becoming not the nice company it used to be. At one time the companies in this country had dedication, loyalty, they were like a family, and this is the beginning of the change of that. And as you do some reading and studying, you see what's happened to IBM and their workers, how angry they are. It's a different, whole different situation. People used to fight to get in GE. I think I had my two brothers and my sister worked there. So as I say, 39 years is long enough.
Did any of your friends retire along with you?
Yeah, but we sort of went out differently because we started differently. And you had to wait until you qualified, you know, for 60 years you got a reduced pension. They made it up for 2 years, so you got Social Security at 62. So I didn't always work with my friends. You know, when you move around different areas, you had made friends in other places and you maintained that friendship, but it wasn't always that the people you worked with were friends. I mean, at one time in GE, it used to be that we used to have a party to arrange a party because we got along so well. And during the war especially, there was such a feeling of family and such a feeling of being concerned because we knew some of the people we worked with went into the service, and the company at that time had beautiful newspapers where I wrote for Campbell Avenue, which is a big factory in Schenectady, was a big factory in Schenectady. And my father used to say, "You're crazy." I used to walk around the plant and get news and write it up, and we send it to the servicemen, and they look forward to getting it. And if somebody died, we had a special plaque that we talked about. And during the war, we sold war bonds. Today, everybody says, how come you don't have GE stock? Because my generation bought war bonds, which don't pay that much, as you know. And so that's the story about whether it's friendship or not. You do make friends. I have a friend I've known for 50 years who unfortunately is in a veterans home now. And I'm looking for a nursing home for her. And my peers are not the youngest in the world. I'm going to be 80 years old on March 9th. No, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to be 80 years young. And I'm still active not only in this fight because this is a great injustice, but there are other fights that I'm still involved in.
I'm just wondering. You were giving me some general reasons why you retired. How the culture of the company changed, the atmosphere of the company changed. Were there specific things that happened in the late 70s that led you to retire? That just sort of pushed.
Well,
you
know, you're not going to talk much about pensions now. You know, they got very, very tight. They used to watch you when, and they only had 15 minutes for you to go to the toilet. And they even had foremen sometimes stand outside the toilet while you went. I mean, stupid, little, petty junk like that. Talk about building any kind of respect. Of course, In the 60s, we used to have piece work. And then I was a piece worker, so I worked harder on piece work than people do on day work. So I've always had pretty good earnings. But then the company decided they're going to get rid of piece work. And so then we went on day work. Well, in some places they had to hire two people to do what one person used to do because the carrot wasn't there. So then you got the police department of the foreman. And the whole thing changed. The foreman was told, don't get too friendly with your workers. Don't go bowling with your workers. Before that, we were a family, you know. So it started to disintegrate, and it's a lot worse now because there's going to be negotiations coming on in June. And the people in the shop now are fighting for pensions. You know why? They want to get out. They said they're not sure of their jobs. They're not sure what's going to be happening. And you can't buy dedication. You can't buy loyalty. I mean, it's like in the family. You know, you love each other and you want to do and you want to have success. But when the leadership slaps you, you're going to bite back.
So you retired April Fool's, 1980.
Right.
How did you encounter retirement? What did you do? What did you plan for yourself?
Oh my gosh, I planned not to have to get up and get into work at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was active in many things, the YWCA and a couple of senior groups, the AARP, but I really, my real love was the pensioners, because I used to go to membership meetings, and we used to, you know, have good hot membership meetings, and I was a young person, I didn't care about pensions, and we had this little skinny man. I mean, he was skinny, and he used to get up and he used to point his finger out, you better start thinking about the pensions, you better start thinking about us, because we helped to build this company. And I've always been compassionate about it, but you know, you go to a membership meeting, it starts at 7:30, and 9:30 it's getting tired, so you don't pay much attention until I retired. And in the meantime, I have always backed up the pensioners, because they used to demonstrate. There have been pensioners who have been active against the General Electric Company. In fact, I got a letter here, one of the news articles that they published about the company, saying they had to steal money from the pension fund in order to be competitive. GE's pension has not been as good as other companies, but it's better than some companies. So then I decided to get involved in the AARP, the Schenectady County Council of Senior Citizens, and New York Statewide Senior Action Council. My life is devoted now. Oh no, I'm active in Schenectady because they put in Metroplex, and they're going to be spending our sales tax money, and so we're going to meetings raising hell because they're going to tear down 9 of our historical buildings, and so the fight goes on.
See, Helen, you're jumping the gun.
Sorry.
I'm interested. We'll get there. We'll get there. Believe me.
You asked me my activities.
No. I want to know what happened right after you retired in the 80s, when you first got involved with these retired.
Oh, I went to the meetings, and I was the youngster, so I had to be careful. These people had, you know, they had their own officers and everything, and I didn't want to be an upstart. So I became a legislative person and followed the legislation and brought it back to the meetings. And
meetings of which organization?
The local 301 IUE, AFL, CIO, Retirees Council. And the man who run it was a former business agent, and he ran a kind of a tight ship, and he didn't want much involvement. He didn't want much activity, so the people were agitating to get rid of him, and they said, you're going to be, I said, wait, you know, this man's been around a long time. So anyway, I love legislation, because this is our bread and butter, sometimes our gravy. And so I used to bring back to the people what the issues were, and go and lobby a little bit, and then I think it was 84, he couldn't get, nobody wanted to chair the activities committee. One of our big things was to have a big Christmas party. So he said, okay, we're not going to have it. So I volunteered. He said, you can't do it. You're too busy. I said, don't tell me what I can't do. So I took over the Christmas party because it was a great thing. The people came out. We used to work together with their wives, and we always had very inexpensive dinners and stuff. And then in 86, I was elected president. And the bylaws say every 2 years you're supposed to have an election. They don't want to hear it. I bring it up, forget it. In fact, I've been told by two good friends that you know that if I get out, they get out. And I said, don't talk so stupid. But as I say, I'm 80 years young. My peers are 75 and 80. My officers are all sick. My vice president's been sick for quite a while, and nobody wants to ask him to resign, but I'm not going to because I can't find many people who are willing today to do something. We have demonstrations in front of the company, and people walk with canes to demonstrate. You know, Hank is sick, you know, Hank is sick. So I'm hanging in there, eating my Wheaties or whatever, to carry on the fight because it's an injustice. People are being, the GE's pension is stinky. In the meantime, they have a surplus in their pension fund of over $15.8 billion. If it was a company, the GE pension fund as a company would be the eighth biggest company in our country. And they have not given a cost of living adjustment since 1991. But we are finding, because we have a network on a nationwide basis, that almost all companies have stopped giving cost of living raises since 1991. So they're getting together, so we as retirees have to get together.
In these years of trying to get General Electric to increase the pension, you've had to deal with union leaders who really didn't give a damn about you, probably, and also company representatives who probably didn't give a damn about retired workers. How did you deal with people of that sort?
Well, my union brothers, we try to persuade them. And I remember back to the times when Mr. Van Der Zee, the skinny man, used to talk to us and how I wasn't too responsive at that time. And the union now negotiates every 3 years. It used to be you negotiated every year and then 2 years. So, and the unfortunate thing is that the Supreme Court has decreed that the union has no right to speak for retired workers. So I was told when they had negotiations that at one time the company was rude enough to turn their backs on the retirees when they talked. They have never done that to me. I have been before them the last three times, and if everything holds up, I will be going in June again. And I have good relationships with the company people. Because I have learned a long time ago, don't be disagreeable when you negotiate with people. There's no point in doing that. I mean, you can be honest and courteous, and because some of the union guys used to go and pound a table, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to pull a strike. And I used to tell them, hey, you can be active for a little while with that, but, you know, in the long run, you got to negotiate whether you like it or not. So I have made friends with some of the top guys, and I remember the last time I went in, and they keep saying, Helen, we're doing everything legally right. And I don't know where I got this from, but I said, you know, at one time slavery was legally right in this country. So was discrimination against women, minorities. I said, but the country realized that this was wrong and changed it. This is a moral crusade. Maybe everything is legally right, but what is morally right? So I used that too before the shareholders meeting in Cleveland last year, before 2,200 people. And I don't know, because I was numb. It was the most important speech I think I've ever made in my life. And you know, you're standing before, in a sense, the enemy, because the shareholders there are so happy with what Mr. Welch has done, and of course he controls a lot of stock, and so do the shareholders, the board of directors. But they tell me when I got done, and I used that little speech too, and I told him that he was the guru of industry. Why don't you set the moral tone and have some leadership so that other companies will see that this is the right thing for you to do and share our pension fund with us? They tell me I got applause. I don't know. I was numb. I was really numb. You want to hear a little bit about the shareholders meeting?
Sure.
Okay. As I say, there were 2,200 people there. Mr. Welsh comes out and talks to reporters, and one of my buddies pushed me towards him, and I shook hands with him, and I said, Mr. Welsh, my name is Helen Carini, and he said, oh, you're the one who writes letters to the editor. I have at least one letter every year, if not two or three. My paper does not print a lot of my letters. And he said, oh, you're the one who writes letters. And I said, that's right. And I said, will you do me a favor? And he said, what can I do for you? I said, would you please listen to me today? Of course. I said, no, not of course. Will you please listen to me? I said, I'm speaking for a lot of people who are hurting, who helped to build this company. He said, of course. I don't think he did, because he didn't do anything. But then I went in, and we got all kinds of guards around. He controls the whole meeting. There's no video, no audio. He has two microphones that he controls from up on top of a big stage. And he puts light on when he wants you to talk, so there can be no disruption in his meeting. And we had the Security and Exchange Commission has set up rules that you cannot have a proposal before a company that questions how they govern. I think it's a governance motion. So you have to figure on something that you can talk around. So the communication workers have had this proposal in now for 3 years, which says that before the company can give any annual pensions to the board of directors who are not members, who are not employees, that they must go before the shareholders. And at that time, what the situation is, when you're on a board of directors and you serve 5 years and are 65 years of age, you get a pension of $50,000, plus your spouse will get it if something happens to you, plus I think there's a cost of living adjustment. And when we went there, what did they do? They raised it to $75,000 and defeated that motion. This is the third time that the motion has been in. It'll be in again. And I'm very happy that Carl McCall, our controller, who has the control over the public service retirees, the biggest amount of stock that he owes is GE, and he votes it with us. We have been able to get 29-point-something%, which is very good. And it's a pressure point, you know. So that's the proposal again. The IBM people wanted to talk about their cash balance change in pensions, and the company rejected it, and the SEC said, no, you're going to have to let them do it because it is now a matter of public discussion, because they are organized. They got the website, and people are mad, and people are talking about organizing, and they're going to be there for bear. So the shareholders meeting is another pressure point. What do you do? We demonstrate every year, and people come to help us. We have been out in the cold. I can remember once it was so cold, I was advised, don't do it. There was snow on the ground, and I said, we went to work when there was snow, didn't we? Well, we're not going to back you up this time. I said, I'll march alone. I went down with my strike outfit on, which is long underwear, a long coat, earmuffs, and my hood with my coat, and I didn't know how many people were going to show. And lo and behold, there was about 25 people, and we brought shovels to shovel if necessary, but we didn't. So I have pictures of us as we marched, and we've been out in the rain. We schedule a day. This year, there's going to be a more of a nationwide movement because it's going to be part of negotiations. And so on April 13th, if anybody's around, come on down to Schenectady. We have a delicious spaghetti dinner for less than $5. Our union brothers make it for us. And we march around and we hear speeches. And the papers have said, we're not going to cover you anymore because this is old story. And they said, we tell them that's why you should do it. And at one time, WRGB didn't bother sending anybody. So we said to everybody, call them up and raise hell. So as soon as we all got home, we called them up and raised hell. And they said, peace, peace. So, you know, what can you do? Legally, they are right. But as I say, morally, that's another question. I have a friend who is a Republican, and we have many good discussions. So she said to me, Helen, you got GE stock? And I said, I got some. She said, you don't mind how high it is. You don't mind getting it, how it's increased. And I said, Eleanor, let me ask you something. If Mr. Welsh came to you, you have IBM, you have GE stock? She said, yeah. I said, if he came to you and he said, Eleanor, would you mind taking a 5% cut in the profit so that we could be more decent to our employees? Would you buy it? And she said, you really got me. Of course I would. So it's unfortunate about what's happening in our country today with workers, and pensioners are getting it in the neck. IBM has changed the way they're going to pay health insurance. General Motors is reneging on what they have promised the office workers, saying, don't organize, get what the union gets. And now they have changed it. And people are hurting. A lot of people are hurting. And we come from a very proud generation. I can't get some of the people I know qualify for food stamps to take it. No, Helen, all our lives we were told, you know. I keep telling them, you paid taxes all your life. You're entitled to this. We are a very proud generation. And so it is a major fight. There are people who are being deprived of pensions because of some legal part of the law. The PATCO workers, remember them? Reagan fired them. They've been fighting now since 1991 to get a decent pension, and they're working through the PBGC, the Public Benefits Government Corporation or something, and the government's giving them a hard time. When they were given their pension, they had no way of knowing what was in it, and they can't get the records. And very shortly after that, the government came to them and said, we're sorry, we overpaid you, so from now on in, we're going to take money away from you. When that happened, and you're probably aware that some people committed suicide. And so this is a generation, it's hurting. Even the people who thought that they had good pensions are finding out now that the company has a right to change it.
Have you gotten much support from the unions over the years in your struggle?
Well, it all depends upon the union. We changed leadership, as you know, a couple of years ago. We had a president who I finally educated that, and he used to come down and walk the picket line with us, and he used to go to the shareholders meeting and everything. He got defeated, and the new guy didn't care at all about us. But he's caring this year because there's negotiations, and they're really putting out a lot of effort because of what's happening.
What you said, they're putting out a lot of effort. What type of effort?
Oh, they, our union, which is the IUE, International Union of Electrical Workers, belongs to a coordinating bargaining committee, which consists of the 14 unions who represent all the organized workers within the General Electric. Of course, Mr. Welsh has done a job on the amount of people still working in this country, and he's done a job on unions, so we don't have that many people anymore. But they got together, and they're going to have some real critical slides and publications, and they're organizing. My rally is going to be on the 13th of April, and they're going to try to organize other rallies around the country at the same time. So there's going to be a concerted effort. How successful we're going to be, who knows?
Do you approach politicians to help you?
Yeah. I have had resolutions adopted by the state. I have had resolutions adopted by our city. I have had resolutions adopted by Boston Spa, and the company got after them and said, you better stay out. What are you getting involved for? And the guys were strong enough to stand up and said, these are our constituents too. I have done a lot of this stuff and nobody else has done it because I've been involved since, as you know, 1986 as president of this outfit. So we are trying everything. We go on radio, we go on television. There was a good friend of ours produced a book, a video called Helen and Jack. It's a tremendous video. She followed me around for a while to understand what I was doing. And then she read all the books about Jack Welch. And so she put out this video of Jack and I would talk to each other. And it's a one-woman show. It's fantastic. Maybe sometime you could show it. It's an hour. But I never knew what she was going to say. And I didn't know what I was going to say in the thing. Well, Mr. Welch has finally seen it. I don't know if he likes it or not. And I care less. I have been told to not criticize him too much, that he's a vindictive man. So when I write my articles for the newspaper, the first and second and third, I have to throw away because they're so hot. And then I calm them all down and say things like, you're the guru of industry. Why don't you just give some leadership? I still use words like shameful and criminal. But as I say, I have tried to always be friendly with the people I deal with and respect them and hope that in the long run they respect me and my cause.
Jack Welch is retiring next year. Are you optimistic that things will get better?
I don't know. I have no idea because he has, if you read any of his books, he has trained the people to be just like him. And they have, you know, no respect whatsoever for loyalty, seniority, and all these kind of things. I mean, the plants that they have closed down and the people that they have hurt. I wonder sometimes how they can sleep at night, but they do very well, I guess. His pension is going to be about $3 million a year. The people I'm fighting for are the people who retired a long time ago because of our efforts. The people going out today are not doing as badly as we did. That's the right English. And our people are getting $400 a month. And the cost, they've been out for a long time. And as you understand a little bit about the cost of living, but you don't know the trouble that seniors have buying prescription drugs. You've probably been reading a lot about it now. But a lot of seniors are heat or eat, especially now with the oil thing. And as I say, they're proud people. I don't mind. I'll go fight with everybody. And I'll take whatever the government has to give because, as I've said, we pay taxes all of our lives, you know, and that's the reason that it's there. So I'm optimistic. I think that partly because of the demonstration we had in Cleveland last year, we had 200 people with shirts like this, except they were yellow. And they were shareholders. So they sat in about one-third up from where Mr. Welch's was in this 2,200 people. There were two long rows. And when Carrie Adams from the Communication Workers introduced the resolution, she said, "Will the GE retirees please stand?" And I tell you, it was just like a row of flowers, all with these kind of shirts on. And they got applause, too. Of course, we applauded ourselves.
I can't quite see what the shirt says. What does it say? Could you say it?
GE, bring good things to retirees, please. See how polite I am? And on the back, I have my local number. We have bumper stickers like this. And what we have done also is we set up a justice fund. A younger retiree from Lynn, Massachusetts, and I are they were management people, and they were absolutely shocked that the company was not giving cost of living. So the PATCO workers started it first. They asked people to give $20, $15 a year towards their campaign. And the Beltel people, all managers, nothing to do with the union, set up their company, their retiree group. They are so well organized, they got a board of directors from throughout the country. And they also go before their shareholders meeting So Kevin and I decided that we ought to do something, so we set up what we call the Justice Fund. We asked our friends and people to give us $12 a year to pay our expenses to go to the GE shareholders meeting. And I am controlling it, because if my name is on anything, I want to make sure it's done right. And so he puts in his paper, send the money to Helen. I get letters from California and Florida and New England, and of course around here too. And when Gail did her play, whenever she does it, she's got a hat. And she said, people, give to Helen Justice Fund. And she's collected $200 for us. So this is our attempt in a little way to do something else. It's a great fight. People tell me you're not going to beat City Hall, and I tell them you're absolutely wrong. In 1996, the company did give some selective raises, and during last year's discussion at the shareholders meeting, Mr. Welch said we gave those raises in response to what some of the things that you have done, meaning us, the Justice Fund. So I think that, you know, number one, I have been written up in the Wall Street Journal. I have been written up in the Chicago Tribune. I have been written up in the newspaper way out in Seattle. There's a special magazine that has to do with pensions, and I have been written up in that. The speech I made before the shareholders meeting is on our website, terrific website, Pensions Are Us. I want to read it, pensions-are-us. And we have all of the people who are involved. This Beltel I'm telling you about has their own website that you can refer to from our website. They send out 40,000 newspapers. Now, IBM is organizing, too, because they are very angry about what's been happening. And we've met with them, and boy, they are sharp. And when I start looking at it, they had 55,000 hits on their website. And these are managers, you know. These are the woman I worked with. She was such a troubleshooter that she was telling us the company had trouble in one area. $100,000 was affected, and they sent her down to handle it. They are mad and hurt. I mean, it's a hurt feeling. Even the Beltel people, we thought we had a company that liked us. We thought that we had dedication. We thought we were like a family. And I said, join the crowd. I don't know anybody. People in Schenectady, we got a lot of work now. They're going to hire back some people. But they're saying we want a good pension to get out early because we can't trust the company. Now, this is a heck of a way to have people work for you.
Well, on that note, Helen, we're going to close this interview, and I promise we'll come back to you and continue this conversation. Thank you very much.